Hey, thanks for leading our scene today. And what a group we have. I'm surprised we have this many people with a cold like this. A bunch of heroes sitting out here. I love it. So growing up in California, there was this place that is somewhere between downtown Los Angeles and Glendale, and it has the largest religious painting ever painted. The painting is displayed in a place called the Hall of Crucifixion, and it's at Forest Lawn Cemetery. Now this painting, if you could picture how wide the church is, tilt that up on end, it's that wide, and then picture the length of the sanctuary twice. It's that long. And the first time I went, they show it every hour on the hour, and we were just a little bit late. It was when I was a youth pastor. And so we're walking in and it's pitch black. I said, "You've got to let us come in, please, please." They said, "Okay." So it was one of those weird moments. I was feeling the chairs going down. Had no idea at the exact moment I was hitting like chair 12, there would be a person there yawning. No joke. And I don't like germs. So the whole COVID thing's been good for me, you know, not touching all that stuff. My hand, honest, went like this. Oh. In somebody's mouth. So I'm like, "Oh no, Jesus, help me." It was a horrible moment. But here's what I want you to understand from this. Not that my hand went in somebody's mouth. Although that might be what you remember. We walk in this painting 45 feet high, 195 feet long, but we had no idea. They showed little pinpointed sections of this mural, and they began to build the greatest story ever known. And it was until the very end, I had no idea that we were seeing such a magnificent painting. And when I think about the Bible, like that mural, it's kind of like a story, the greatest story ever told, but it's not written in story form. The Bible was not written like you would have a normal book. It's so different. And some people are like, "Man, the Bible is so confusing. I don't understand. I started here and I started here." And this is the beginning of the year. This is the time of the year where you're like, and y'all look really skinny. I think whoever's on a diet, you just look great. I mean, that first day, you've really done well. And a lot of people say, "Gosh, I just want to be closer to God." How do you do that? You become part of the story, the greatest story ever told. And Randy Friesen explains a little bit why, if you say, "The Bible's super hard, I don't understand it." He explains a little bit of why, and I love how he explains it. He talks about the law. First five books in the Bible, they're called the Pentateuch. Penta meaning five, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So as you read through these, they're in chronological order. You get to Exodus, you're like, "Gosh, that's a little tough." Then you go into Numbers and you're good. And then you get to Deuteronomy. And you're like, "Wait a minute. Didn't we already talk about this?" Well, you're exactly right. The word Deuteronomy is actually two words that Moses uses. It's the word deuter, which means second, and nonus, which means law. So it's the second repetition of what you just read. You're like, "Are you kidding me? That's good to know." Well, then you get into the historical books. Joshua to Esther. Pretty much chronological order until you get halfway through 1 Kings. And then you're like, "Wait, what? What?" It begins a story of Solomon's reign over the united Israel, and then the demise of Solomon. There's the dividing of the nations into two weaker nations. So you have Israel and Judah, Israel on the north, Judah on the south. And you're like, "Okay, that gets a little interesting." And then you get to the back part of 2 Kings, and it goes between the kings and the prophets of the north and the kings and prophets of the south into the destruction and their exile. And then it gets a little more confusing because of the mothers in that day. Who names their kids Jeroboam, Rehoboam, Jehoiakim, and Jehoiachin? Well, and then you're like, wait a minute. Okay, then you get to 1 Chronicles and you think the story is going on, but you actually revert back to Solomon. Except then there's 2 Chronicles, which leaves out all of those kings because they're not part of God's redemptive plan that brings us to Jesus. You're like, okay, if that's not confusing, let's just talk about the poetry books. Let's talk about, you know, the five books from Job to the Song of Solomon, and they're not necessarily in chronological order either. Job is a story that is believed to have happened around the time of Abraham. Well, that's all the way back to the first book of the Bible in Genesis. You're like, wait a minute. And then some of these contain writings by David, they contain writings by Solomon, and then there's even a psalm from Moses, but that's back in the book of Genesis. Let me give you an example in 2 Samuel chapter 11. King David sees Bathsheba and he's like, wow, that looks great. I'm going to bring her home. Problem is, she gets pregnant and then he kills one of his soldiers to try to cover all of this up. And in 2 Samuel chapter 11, Nathan the prophet confronts David. But you don't see David saying, wow, I'm super sorry right then. David actually gives his full confession later on, all the way into Psalms 51. You're like, wait a minute. I'm reading about this here, and now David says he's sorry over here. And then there are the prophetic books. They're the last 17 books in the Bible. But they're talking about things that happen at the beginning of the Old Testament, so you have to learn how all of these things are lined up. And they're not necessarily in chronological order. And then there are, amongst the prophets, there are the major prophets and the minor prophets. Do you know what the difference between a major prophet and a minor prophet is? I mean, I spent a lot of years in seminary. Here's the difference. The major prophets have more chapters than the minor prophets. 9 years school right there. That's it. Wait, it's a major prophet. You're thinking, well, this is like a big time deal. No, it's like they were wordy. And the minor prophets are like, I'm just thinking, am I a major preacher or a minor preacher? God help you. It's the beginning of the year. Be nice. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, I can say this quicker. So those were the minor prophets. And you're like, okay. Wow. That is a lot. You know, Hosea kind of starts out as a minor prophet, and he, instead of keeping the story going, he goes back 145 years, even before Daniel, and he prophesies that the northern kingdom of Israel was going to be overtaken by the Assyrians. Boom. 39 books, the Old Testament. You got it. And you're like, okay, the New Testament. Only 27 books. It's got to be easier. Okay. First four Gospels. Gospel means the good news. The first four Gospels share the story of Christ. Matthew, Mark, and Luke share the story, kind of how they see it. Matthew is really referring to more of a Jewish audience. Luke is referring to a Gentile audience. And Mark is just, I'm in a hurry to get to the end. Well, then there's John. John's got it all messed up. He doesn't go in chronological order. He goes in topical order. This is kind of what I want to show you, and this is why I want to show you. Well, that's a little bit confusing. And you would think that Matthew, because it's the first book in the Old Testament, was written first. Well, that's not true at all. We'll talk about that in a minute. But so you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then finally, we have a history. It's the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the book that tells the story after the ascension of Jesus. And then it kind of goes along with what's happening. Starts with Peter, ends with Paul. And then the book of Romans, you're like, oh, I should just keep going. It's a story. No, pause. Now this is a letter written to the church. This is not how we do this. But it's exactly how it was done. Romans is not a historical book. Matter of fact, 21 books are letters. They're written, and you would think, okay, these 21 books are arranged in order. No, by author. Paul and then various other writers. Then you have the book of Revelations, which is a book of prophecy in the New Testament. And really, when you think about how are these lined up, the first two books, according to history, which were written in the New Testament, are James and then Galatians. And then Matthew, which is the first book in the Old Testament, actually is one of the last books that was written. Do you get this? You're like going, Jim, what are you talking about? I just remember you putting the hand in the guy's mouth and I can't get, because this makes no sense. There's a lot of people who have great reverence for the Bible, but they have no idea what's going on. Welcome to what we're going to do this year. That is what the story experience is all about. It's meant to unravel all of this and really be able to understand there is one colossal theme throughout the entire Bible. It's the redemption of man. But it's not written in a chronological order. And that's why we're going to go through the story together this year. It's an abridged chronological order of the Bible. It's not designed to replace our Bible. It moves things around a little bit, so it reads more like a novel. It reads more like events happen. So example, in 2 Samuel in 11 and 12, when Daniel says, gosh, I'm so sorry for what I did, they'll put that psalm in there. So you kind of get to understand it. You see God's story as a mural. You're going to be able to get it. You're going to be able to understand it better. When you think about the scriptures, Moses, at the end of his life, he gathers everyone together and he passes the mantle of leadership to Joshua, and then he addresses everybody. I remember in Driver's Ed, that was when we actually had like the little modules. And I remember our teacher talking to us about how, you know, growing up in California, how the freeways were crazy and how all of this was crazy. And he would always remind us, I want you to go look at that poster board. I'm like, what is on the poster board? And I went over there and looked and I'm like, yikes. It was a magazine. It was called Red Asphalt. And this is like a long time ago. I think now, like, we'd have to go into therapy and stuff, and the kids couldn't handle it. They had all of these pictures of awful accidents and stuff. And here's the truth. I've never, even when I'm driving, I'm like, Jim, remember Red Asphalt. Don't cut out in front of you. Take your time. Remember this. You're not in that big of a hurry. And by the way, statistically, if you love to speed, you're your odds of being in an accident are exponentially worse than the person who doesn't. And you actually will arrive somewhere, if you're driving like a crazy person, normally 2 to 3 minutes ahead of everybody else. That's it. The odds of you getting in an accident, the most accidents that happen are within 10 miles of your house because you're in a hurry. Why am I telling you this? I don't know. But it's important for somebody because you're speeding too much. Not even the angels are hanging on to your deal. But here's what Moses is doing. He's like, hey, wait a minute. Every 7 years, I want you to go back. And I want you to reread what was done. It's really important because there's one generation that's away from going back to the ways it was. Going back to loving idols, worshiping idols, not having God as the center focus of your life. It was a big concern for Moses. And I understand now why our teacher did that. Back then I was like, I don't want to look at it. But he wanted us to realize that we were not as smart as we thought we were in 10th and 11th grade, that we didn't have the experience we thought we had, and he wanted to give us a reality check of this is how life can be unbridled. This is how life can be if you just think you can do it on your own and you're not as smart as you might think you are. And so Moses does this in Deuteronomy chapter 31. He says this, so Moses wrote down the law and gave it to the Levitical priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them at the end of every 7 years, in the year for canceling debt, during the Festival of Tabernacles, when all of Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the foreigners residing in your towns. And why is that? So they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. So Moses knew that his time was coming to an end, that God had delivered them from the bondage of the Pharaoh in Egypt. And Moses said, wait a minute. I want everyone. I don't care if they're a foreigner. I don't care if they're old. I don't care if they're young. I don't care if they're children. They need to understand what truth is. They need to understand what it looks like to fear the Lord. Now, that's not a bad fear. That's a healthy fear. Have you watched any of the surfing contests at Nazareth? Did you watch? Hey, these guys, I mean, just recently they had a contest there. And you're talking about waves bigger than the length of this building. And there's a tremendous... I mean, I never surf waves that big. We surf big waves. There's a tremendous respect for surfing big waves because you would absolutely feel like you were getting annihilated and you were going to drown if you didn't respect them. But when you got a big wave and it was just absolutely incredible, it was the most exhilarating experience you could almost ever have. But we had a reverence for big waves. We had a healthy fear because I know what it's like to be paddling and have a wave break here and drag me backwards underwater for 60 yards and think that this is the day I meet Jesus. I know what it's like to be pounded by a wave and swimming as hard as I can to get to the top because I'm out of air and bouncing off the bottom and thinking, this is the day I'm going to die. And yet you're like, well, why did you do that? Because you get a good wave? Most incredible experience of any sport I've ever been part of. What Moses is saying is that you've seen the power of the Lord. You saw the plagues that God brought onto Pharaoh. You saw the angel of death pass over all of your houses and devastate those who worshiped other gods. You have seen how I parted the Red Sea. And even though it was flowing and you were terrified, you were able to walk through on dry ground. But some of your kids haven't seen this. And the only way they're going to learn the ways of the Lord is by you helping them. Listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. Their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan possessions. This is the rub with the things of God. Everybody wants to be blessed by God, right? I mean, I haven't met anyone, no, I don't want to be blessed by God. Well, I've had good conversations with a couple of atheists who, yeah, I don't want to have anything to do with it, and it's a beautiful dialogue. But most of us say, I want to be blessed by God. How many of us say, I want to do the work to be blessed by God? Last year, remember I said, hold me accountable, I'm going to lose some weight. Absolutely did. No problem. Then we got COVID and I ate anything and ate every meal like it was my last supper. And I've continued that for a few months. And I'm like, whoa, your skinny jeans are a little skinnier. So this year, and I have self-control, I'm starting to say, okay, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be here. I encourage you anytime. Ask me, what are you eating there, big guy? I don't mind at all. You know why? Because accountability is how we grow. Accountability is how we make certain New Year's resolutions and keep them. I don't make any New Year's resolutions, by the way. Why not? 90% of the people fail when they make them. So you're like, oh, just lower the bar that low. Great, Jim. No. Ask me anytime you want to how my Bible reading is. Ask me anytime you want to how my eating is. Ask my wife anytime you want to how I treat her. My devotions aren't perfect, but we all went through the one-year Bible last year. And when I finished that in September, I finished 150 different Bible reading programs. I'm not saying that to say, wow, look at me. I mean, I know me. But what I'm saying is I want to do the right thing today so I don't have to make a resolution for tomorrow. Ask me about my giving to the Lord. I don't mind. Do you know why? Because I need accountability. I want accountability because I'll never make it on my own. I need you. You need me. That's why we're going to do the story together. That's why you need to be part of the story. Here's what happened for God's chosen people. Every time they read the story never changed. But they did. Right? I've read the Bible so many times, and it doesn't change. It's like, why would you read it and keep reading it? Why is it the number one bestseller of all times ever? It doesn't change, but I change. I actually get a sense of what life is really supposed to be like, not how necessarily it is and how it's conveyed on TV and how it's conveyed on social media. I actually go, whoa, there is a great God, a great big God who absolutely wants to bless our lives, who absolutely wants to be part of our lives. I mean, he does, but it takes work. Right? It takes a lot of work, but it's work that's worth it. And I'm super excited about the fresh discoveries this year as I read the story in kind of a unique way. It's not something that I normally or have ever done, to read kind of a chronological Bible, and I'm super excited about that. Why is that? It's not changed, Jim. You know what's going to happen. You know what Adam and Eve are going to do. You understand what's going to happen here. You already know what David did. You already know that Peter, you know. There's so much I don't know. When I went through the Bible this year, I'm like, oh, how did that get there? How come I've never seen that before? What? Wow. Every time we go back to the scriptures, every time we read it, every time we reread it, every time we immerse ourselves in the big picture of God's word, here's what happens. There are fresh discoveries. God unlocks new secrets that lead you and me to not just think about the story, but to be part of the story. God's redemptive plan. Oh, it's so good. You can actually live the life that God intended for you. And we're a little goofed up. You know, there's a lot of real estate being sold right now for the meta-universe. Right? That's where things are headed, where, you know, man, I'm at home, I'm not working, and, you know, not interacting with people at work. Put on your goggles. Go into meta world, right? There's real estate being sold right now that's virtual real estate in the millions, I think even billions of dollars. And most people aren't even aware of it. You can actually purchase real estate that's not real real estate, but it is real real estate because you're spending millions of dollars to buy a little part of Newport Beach, buy a little part of, you know, New York, and people are buying this, and soon we're all going to be able to just check in. You know, I'm not very important down here, but in the meta world, I'm super important. We're looking for something to fill us. And there's going to be a lot of people who make a boatloads of money. You know, Facebook's changed their name. And it's all about this meta reality, meta universe, and it's an interesting thing. Who doesn't want to escape when life is just stupid? This is a great escape that keeps you grounded in reality. Every one of us is going to meet God. Every one of us. Every one of us. And we want to know him before that time comes. And so I'm super excited about this. Now, I don't want you to raise your hands or anything, but how many people would say, I think I would like to understand the Bible better. I think, you know, I'm trying, I'm doing my best, but like you just read, it's like a bit confusing. It's a bit challenging. I get it. And our goal this year, my job is to help you during this next kind of ministry season to personally access the Word of God so it means something to you. That's why we're going to do the story together. I don't want you just to think about the story. I want you to be part of the story. I encourage you next week, this week you read chapter 1. And you're going to be amazed. Chapter 2. It's like, wow, this is so fun for me to learn this. Chapter 3, it's like, wow, that so much makes sense. And oh, wow. And let me just tell you this right up front. What happens if you read week 1, 2, and 3? And week 4, you're sick and out, and you're just like, oh, man. It's all right. It's okay. It's not a day where I want to heap burdens on you. It's a day where I want to say, you want to learn the Bible? You want to be able to read it better? You want to immerse yourself in this story? Guess what? That's exactly where we're headed. And so I want you to grab one, be part of it. Read chapter one this week. You'll be amazed. You will absolutely be amazed at what God is doing. And here's how I would encourage you to read the story. Just say a simple prayer. Hey, God, would you help me to understand this year more than I ever have the big picture? When you read, just say, God, would you open my eyes to see something I haven't seen? God, would you just help me? Some of this is hard and it doesn't make sense to me. Would you help me? And a prayer like this doesn't hurt either. God, help me to be disciplined. It's easy to spend 3 hours on TikTok, but when I look at your Bible for 2 minutes, I'm like, oh my goodness. Right? There's a part of us that has to be disciplined. And the truth is, we all do what matters most to us. Right? We just do. I mean, all those years I deer hunted, 3:30 in the morning, boom, popped up, ready to go, life's good. And I would sit in the tree stand and almost every time I'd say, God, I'm so sorry. Because to get up at 3 o'clock and to read the Bible, God, are you even awake then? I mean, you know, God, you come on, you got to take a nap at some point. We make all kinds of excuses, right? We really do what matters most. And this is why Moses was so concerned. Because the next generations don't see what the generations in the past have seen. The next generation, it's going to be normal for them to check out of reality here on earth and get into a meta reality. It's going to be normal for them to have attention span that lasts as long as a TikTok video. All of that stuff is so appealing, so enticing, so addictive. But what it does is it moves us away from, like, what really matters. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather live in a real universe knowing that I'm going to meet the maker of all of the universe sooner than later. So I'm excited about this. I'm excited for you to actually get a hold of God's word and let it get a hold of you. I want to pray today. There's quite a few who are home with every kind of sickness you can imagine, and appreciate Pastor Zach pulling together a quick couple of change outs for the worship team and finding people who help with kids and all of that. And Johnny Lane realized, man, there's no donuts here today. I will never let that happen in God's house. So he went and bought donuts for everybody. He comes in like muscles pumped, you know, two things of donuts, boom. Nobody leaves God's house without a donut. But I want to pray that for those who are just feeling a little bit punk today, that God would bless them. And really, if you make a New Year's resolution, I would say do this. Matthew 6:33. Yeah, what is that? It's a good verse for you to know. It's talking about you seeking the kingdom and his righteousness first. And everything else is going to work itself out. Yeah, I'm super excited about this year studying with you. And I think on Wednesday nights, and remember, it's not this Wednesday night we're having Bible study. I want to make sure that that was clear. It's a week from Wednesday night. And I think what we're going to do in the back of the story, there are some discussion questions that relate to each chapter. And so we can't take, I mean, next week is the first 11 chapters. Well, you can't focus on all of that. So on Wednesday night, we'll pick it back up again, and I'm super excited about that. But let's pray together for those who couldn't be here today because of being sick and just all kinds of stuff like that. Then we'll be dismissed to go eat Johnny Lane's donuts. God, thank you that there is a story from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, like there's a story. There's an overarching theme. And it's like what you're doing up in heaven and then how things are lived out here on earth. And sometimes there's such a gap, such a difference. I know, God, from the beginning of time, you wanted to bless us. And you gave us free will that we could choose your blessing or we could choose to be enticed by the things of this world. God, I pray for this year that you would help us, that you would guide us, that we literally would immerse ourselves in the story for the betterment of our lives. God, there's no sweeter place to be in life than in smack in the middle of your will. Lord, that helps us to handle the good times, still being humble, and it helps us to handle the hard times when we know that you're with us. So God, I pray for each one here, Lord, that you would bless them. God, I pray for those who are home and those who are sick and those who just have confusion in their mind and just stuff going on, Lord. All of us, I pray. All of those that call Hope Church their home church. Lord, you'd bless them and help them. Give them hope that comes from you. God, I'm so excited about this year. I have no idea what's going to happen. I have no idea what the future holds, but I absolutely know who holds the future. You have a plan, God, and I want to be part of your plan. We want to be part of your plan. So God, when we open up your word, when we study the story, bring life into us because of the life that's in your word. God, we thank you so much. We bless you today in Jesus' name.